Good afternoon, and thank you, James, for the introduction. It's a real pleasure to be here with so many of our friends for so many years advocating for digital inclusion around the world. And thank you for Diane for a very inspiring talk that really covers a number of the issues we are all very, very much focusing on in our advocacy work. But today, my task is to talk to you about the Sustainable Development Goals and how they relate to digital inclusion. And I don't know, I know Glasgow has been the seat of a major conference last year, COP16. So I suppose a lot of Scottish participants know everything about the Sustainable Development Goals. Am I right? Not quite. So how many of you have read the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, if you can raise your hand? All right, okay. A few, that's great, okay. So let me tell you that from a historical background, it's only in the year 2000 that the United Nations launched a major effort to coordinate world activities to support economic and social development around the world, as well as environmental action. And those were the Millennium Development Goals, if you remember them. And they ran from 2000 to 2015. The interesting thing is, at the same time as this was launched by Secretary General Kofi Annan at the time, there was also a very strong push from the UN to really reach out to other stakeholders than just governments and agencies that are part of member states' government organizations. And just to give you a perspective, in 1995, I was involved in the first summit for financing social development in Copenhagen. And my work at the time as a volunteer was to help put together leaders of the financial services industry to come and discuss with folks who are involved in social and economic development internationally to see how the flow of private capital could help development. However, the problem is the UN did not want any private sector person to step in the official meeting of the UN in Copenhagen. We were off limits, private sector. So we had to rent an inn in the suburbs of Copenhagen where we got all those CEOs of major financial services companies and other institutional organizations involved in finance to meet there, and then the official folks from the UN would skip out of the major conference in Copenhagen downtown and come to the suburbs to talk to the financial services industry. So we were in the hiding, essentially. It was unbelievable. Now, in 2000, Kofi Annan launched the Global Compact, which is to say to the private sector, you are welcome. Please join the UN effort to promote the Millennium Development Goals and make sure that all your companies respect the human rights treaties engineered by the UN. It's a major step towards incorporating the private sector in the strategy of the UN. And I mention that because in what we talk about today, digital inclusion, if we don't have the private sector involved, it's a major, major hiccup because the private sector is the source of innovation and also the major propagator of solutions for digital inclusion. So with that as a background, the MDGs did well. In fact, when you look at what happened with the MDGs, one of the major goals was to reduce poverty in the world, actually to halve poverty in the world by 2015. Well, the statistics are the following. 35% of people lived in poverty in 1990 and 10% in the world in 2015. In fact, the MDGs had actually surpassed their goal for reducing poverty around the world. So you can imagine at the time, there was tremendous momentum and hope and energy and kind of creativity around going the next step or the next development agenda, which is the Sustainable Development Goal. We also witnessed a tremendous change in gender equality in education around the world and also access to education and improvement in child and maternal care. So there is an undeniable positive effect of the MDGs. But the big thing for persons with disabilities, they were not mentioned anywhere in the MDGs or any of the targets and metrics to measure the MDGs. So back in 2015, the disability movement put a very strong emphasis on making sure that the Sustainable Development Goals would actually incorporate persons with disabilities in their agenda. And that was actually achieved in that in the Sustainable Development Goals, for the first time prior to what we have today, we had persons with disabilities specifically identified as a target population that had specific needs and had to be taken into account in any kind of social and economic development strategy around the world. So the thing with the SDGs, on one hand, we can be very happy about that. But on the other hand, the mentions are limited, and we need to understand, unlike the CRPD, which we as an organization at the Global Initiative for Inclusive Technologies, we focus on, we were born out of the CRPD. We were started by UNDESA to promote Article 9 of the CRPD. We know it by heart. It's on our kind of, a little bed table. It's our Bible. So we need to understand that contrary to the CRPD, the Sustainable Development Goals are not a legal instrument. They have no consequences for states in terms of mandate to implement those goals. It's just what they called in the introduction aspirational goals. So each government, each nation is free to adjust and understand how to adapt those SDGs and make it work in their country. So in a way, that's a kind of a very important thing when we talk about SDGs, but no obligation. So I just want to be very straight that compared to the CRPD, where people have obligation, governments have obligation, they must enact the CRPD in their laws and regulations, it's not the case for the Sustainable Development Goals. Now, there are positive aspects to the SDGs for digital inclusion. First of all, there is definitely a lot of talks about sustainability in the world. And the major principle of the Sustainable Development Goals are the five P's, planet, people, prosperity, and so on and so forth. Now, who cannot agree with those goals? I mean, they are very inspiring. And I must say, if you go around the world today, there is no question that the level of awareness of planet issues, socioeconomic issues, the need to actually have a collective agenda, a global agenda to push for solution is very, very high, much higher. Everybody hears about, environmental issues, but also everybody hears about inequalities and war and challenges. So I think the SDGs have been tremendously helpful in raising awareness in general. But to be granular, not so much. Now, it has another benefit. It forces countries to report. Organizations like to report, international organizations publish reports on their progress alongside the SDGs. Most companies that are actually involved in technology today have some kind of mention to the SDGs, in 2022, Microsoft published a 110 pages report on Microsoft and its action for the SDGs. So it definitely gathers the energy of everyone to focus on those goals. There is also the high-level political forum, which is now happening once a year at the UN, where there is a specific stakeholder group for persons with disabilities, which has the ability to actually intervene and change resolutions and make proposals. So all those mechanisms are there and are helpful, if you will. I can't say otherwise. But the question, of course, is when you look at the details and where persons with disabilities are mentioned, they are mentioned in a couple of different areas: education, employment, reducing inequalities, and cities and urban environments. And in those four cases, it's very clear that program needs to take into account persuaded abilities, but in quite often the language is such that it addresses also what's called vulnerable persons, vulnerable groups. So on one hand, it's a good thing that persons with disabilities were identified as a vulnerable group. But, you know, when some disposition of the SDGs cover vulnerable groups is too wide, you know, for digital inclusion, it is so specific in the case of persons with disabilities, there is no way to have actually targets and metrics behind it. So basically, yeah, it is included, but there are really not too many monitoring tools behind it to measure progress. And if there is no measurement of progress, then it's very delicate to assume that the SDGs would have any significant impact on digital inclusion. So we can conclude from that brief kind of overview. I believe personally that what we do collectively in this room, in the global disability movement, among all those advocates that work for digital inclusion, that what we do is essential to achieve the sustainable development goals. It's essential for employment, it's essential for education, it's essential for political and civic participation, essential for any form of inclusion in society. Cannot do it without it, right? So when the question was asked, what's the kind of connection between SDGs and inclusive design, I have to tell you, it's 100%. There is no way to achieve the minimum development goal without raising people out of poverty, without providing employment. Can you be employed today without digital inclusion? You cannot, right? Every single job I think of, you need some form of digital interaction. So that's simple. However, the counter conclusion is the SDGs themselves aren't providing many tools for advocates to push the digital inclusion agenda. I hope I'm very clear on this one. So yes, what we do is central, but no, I don't think the SDGs have helped a lot. In fact, I would take the counterpoint, being a CRPD advocate myself, that the high attention given to the SDGs by many, many civil society organizations has ended up, starting in 2015, to actually, you know, lower the level of attention on implementing the CRPD. Almost like if being part of the SDGs was more fashionable, like it was something else that was newer and better. It was not. It's actually ridiculous, you know. The CRPD is so precise. It's a compulsory set of guidance that states must implement in their nations. It's part of the international law. I mean, it's a very, very strong success. 186 countries have ratified it. It's a global treaty. We need to remain focused on it. Because as Diane recalled earlier in her presentation very eloquently, Article 9 and many articles in the CRPD are very specific. They provide terrific guidance for digital inclusion. There is no need to create something else. That is a beautiful treaty that needs to be implemented. So with that, I should say there are digital inclusion advocacy opportunities currently within the context of the SDGs at the United Nations. And I want to emphasize five of them very quickly. First, last year, the Secretary General Antonio Guterres actually placed a call to rescue the SDGs. Why? Because the SDGs are failing right now. They are failing miserably. There was actually a huge drawback from the COVID crisis. But then there are wars, there are all kinds of impact. In fact, in many domains, you look at the key statistics, we have been regressing. So the SDGs are at risk. As a result of that, the Secretary General has launched all kinds of initiatives and push to get them back on track. So there is an opportunity here for all advocacy organizations to emphasize the linkage between poverty and disability. Remember, in the Declaration of Principles, the Sustainable Development Goals recognize that 80% of persons with disabilities in the world live in poverty. How can you possibly resolve the poverty issue that is one of the main SDG goals without addressing the issue of persons with disabilities. That linkage is not clear in the mind of most people involved in those international organizations. And it's a key issue that is really slowing down everything. Second of all is to emphasize the importance of digital inclusion for employment and education, because those are two domains where there is definitely focus of organizations around the world to implement programs. So for instance, we as an organization are involved in helping the World Bank in Central Asia to help government put in place employment strategies. And we go there because of our digital inclusion kind of background. And we try to see, okay, how can the local government help accelerate digital inclusion in support of employment? So those are definitely opportunities that need to be leveraged. I specifically would say that we need to lobby for the promotion of the CRPD dispositions that are in for education and employment, and make sure that those SDGs incorporate what the CRPD says, exactly says, you know, nothing else, nothing more. And then Diane alluded to the launch of a global digital compact. So last year, we saw this thing coming up. Francesca, who is here, who is responsible for institutional relations, spotted the whole process starting. So we joined, and in the process of that roundtable, we realized the whole thing did not even mention persons with disabilities, nor accessibility. It did continue to do what the SDG do, which is, okay, how many connections to the internet and how many people have mobile phones. But it does not say, you know, what's actually happening to persons with disabilities in terms of inclusion and accessibility. So we did modify the text and included a very specific reference to the CRPD Article 9 and changed the definition of accessibility, which was actually messed up with the availability of access around the world. So that was actually changed, and we are happy that we got that done. The second thing is, by April of this year, we had to file reports to kind of feed the mechanism. So again, we had a very, very extensive 30-page report with statistics from all around the world to show how critical digital inclusion would be for the realization of the digital compact objectives. And then last week in New York during the COSP, we also organized a meeting with IT information technology leaders, the World Blind Union, and a couple of other disability organizations, a working breakfast with the gentleman who runs the operation of the Global Digital Compact in New York at the UN. And the topic of the conversation was that. He said, how do we make sure that persons with disabilities are actually included in the Global Digital Compact? Because without it, we will fail again with that whole framework. So that is hopefully in motion. We want to call for action there as well, make sure that all major organizations for persons with disabilities are aware and participate, as well, actually, as major industry leaders. I should say that at that particular private briefing, we had folks like Microsoft, who was actually hosting the breakfast, Amazon, Ernst & Young, Accenture, I mean, a lot of very major corporations who are in favor of that. They want it to happen. They want to see digital inclusion incorporated in those global objectives. So technology companies are a natural ally in that kind of lobbying effort. And we need to do it in a smart way so that we don't actually present a divided front here. And then the last opportunity came up last week, June 15, the Global Sustainable Development Report, which is issued once every 4 years to feed the work of the high-level political forum, came out. And there, for the first time, and I was happy because, of course, I knew I was going to talk to you today about it, there was a clear recognition that in order to meet the objective of the SDGs, a particular attention to marginalized groups will be critical. So I think the process of thinking of the linkage between marginalized groups, persons with disabilities, unemployment, poverty, and everything is becoming clearer and clearer. Second, that report emphasizes the importance of leveraging digital transformation for inclusion. And that's a major, major step forward as far as I'm concerned, if we can keep pushing for it. And specifically, it says there is a potential to leverage technology for persons with disabilities. Again, the first time in the whole SDG universe, I see that mentioned by an official report. So there is hope, you know. And we want to push, we want to keep working on it. Just to conclude what we do currently to push in that agenda, we'll launch again this year the DARE Index, the Digital Accessibility Rights Evaluation Index, where we measure country commitments, capacity to implement and actual outcomes for persons with disabilities, which we do with organizations of persons with disabilities around the world in 137 countries at this time. We keep pushing for our DARE scholarship program, which is to offer to persons with disabilities in developing nations the opportunity to be follow the courses and the certification for accessibility professional certification. There is a toolkit that we keep updating, which we are releasing this summer. That's a knowledge base for advocates and policymakers as well. And then finally, one of our divisions, the IAP, the International Association of Accessibility Professionals, keeps actually working very hard at promoting education for professionals. Again, if you want to implement accessibility in an organization and inclusive design, can you do it without people who know how to do it? Would you get your bathroom repaired or set up without a plumber that is a certified plumber? Probably not. Well, digital inclusion, digital accessibility, and inclusive design are not haphazard things. They are taught, and people need to have experience in actually implementing those to be successful. So the importance of the accessibility profession in our eyes is extraordinarily important because it's really the core of the capacity to actually implement on a day-to-day basis digital inclusion in organizations. We have today 5,800 members. It's growing steadily at about 25% a year, 110 countries. We see that as a major future contribution to the sustainable development goal and inclusive design in general. And then the last thing is we certainly are involved in international development projects, like, for instance, smart sidewalk leveraging AI for optimizing sidewalks for persons with disabilities in large cities. We did with the G20 and World Economic Forum a procurement toolkit for smart cities. We work with the World Bank, as I mentioned earlier, on implementing policies in countries for digital inclusion. So the conclusion, I would just tell you the thought leadership in digital inclusion is in this very room. You are it. Every single of us have more experience and more understanding of those issues than many of those folks who write those reports. And so it's a kind of a counterintuitive thing to come to you and explain to you about what's the SDGs are and tell you, you know, at the end, probably you know more about it than the people who write those documents. But it's the truth. Persons with disabilities have not been enough involved in all those documents, all those preparation, all those developments in the international organization. And so the tech industry, advocates, and persons with disabilities make this happen every day. We need to be more involved. And that said, the SDGs are still a very important framework and positive thing to leverage for our advocacy, but we need to be very, very, very focused on specific point of leverage. So thank you so much for your attention.